And this is our number down.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, yes, it is. It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And we have a abbreviated show today. So this will be our final hour. I can't remember the last time we got any time off, Nicole, from our regular show hours. This is something else. Is Nicole there?
Did you have Pete Doc?
Maybe. No, she's not there. Yeah, anyway, this back in the past, a day like today, I would have started this show at noon and I'd go till, I don't know, about midnight. But I'm on a I'm on a little hiatus from one of my other gigs. So at 2 o'clock, we're gonna hand it off to Seahawks football as they take on the Arizona Cardinals tonight. So I'm only on the air till 2, but then at 3 o'clock I have a live webinar that I'll be doing. So you can still hang out with me at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Go to knowyourriskradio.com for that. One of the guys I'm going to talk to down at the bottom of the hour is a guy who went to high school here in Seattle. His name is Chad Kimball. And then he became a big Broadway star. He was nominated for a Tony Award for a Broadway show that he did, Memphis Lives in Me. And he has taken so much heat because he kind of goes against the stereotype of people in showbiz who tend to, in general, just support politicians and are often very reluctant to live their faith. But this is a guy who's upset with Jay Inslee because the governor has said, you know, if you go to church, don't sing because you will projectile spit droplets when you sing, and that'll create another massive super spreader event. And this guy, Chad Kimball, he went on Twitter and he said, no, I'm going to sing. God commands us to sing. You know, he commands us first and foremost to love, but he also gave us this beautiful, wonderful gift, and he commands us to sing. And so he's going to join us because some other Broadway people are really upset at him for saying that he believes that we should still go to church and should sing, and that we don't always have to follow the government when they tell us to do something if it goes against our faith. And I just have great respect. And turns out, before he struck out for New York and Broadway, he listened to this show. And he said he knew about the radio show. Here's a little bit of Chad Kimball. I think this is the part where he got the Tony nomination.
There's a town that I call home, where all the streets are paved with soul. Down on Vale there's a honky-tonk bar. Hear the wail of a blues guitar. Half a beer, drop a dime in a blind man's jar. The blues sang softly in the air like a Sunday morning prayer. Just one more
good voice. I like this. It's called Memphis Lives in Me. So anyway, the Tony-nominated actor Chad Kimball will join me at 1:30 because he dared go on Twitter and say, I'm not going to just blindly follow Governor Inslee and what he's telling us to do. I'm going to sing. I'm going to live my life. And he, by the way, he got COVID earlier this year, so he knows a little bit about getting this disease, too. So we'll talk to him coming up right after the bottom of the hour news. Okay, Nicole's there now. I'm saying, Nicole, I don't remember the last time we had a short show.
Oh, it's been at least, well, probably almost a year.
No, no, it's been, for me, what I mean by a short show.
Oh, yes, got it.
When I got a little time off. Because it's probably been 20 years when we carried the Mariners on this station, and there would be an occasional Mariners day game, and then I would get preempted for an hour or two. But yeah, every preemption since then, I have been part of the broadcast. But now that I'm on a little hiatus, I think I don't know what's going on.
Or a long one.
It's probably a long one. but yeah. So just a 2 hour show. This is
what are you gonna do with your
like
extra
to be,
hour today?
This is what it's like to be Dave Wyman when in the summertime when their show gets shortened by Mariners baseball when the Mariners are on the East Coast. I'm getting a little taste of that today.
A little bit.
Very sweet.
Are you
what was
do
your question?
Are you going to do anything with that extra hour today? It's a little hour of daylight. I was actually really happy about that because I'm moving and it gives me a little extra daylight today. I'm doing the big move this weekend, but I'm trying to get as much over as I can before everybody shows up to help me. So it gives me an extra hour.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
No, I got to do, I don't want to drag anybody into my personal issue, but I got a letter from the IRS. I got a letter from the IRS a couple of days ago.
Uh-oh.
And it's completely 100% wrong what they're saying in the letter, but they claimed that I owe them a massive amount of money. And by massive, I mean, if it was legit, it would change my life dramatically for the worse. But it's all, everything about it is wrong.
Well,
and so.
Are you sure it's not a scam?
No. It's the IRS.
Wow.
And I know what they did and I know where they got it wrong. And it is. Everything about it is wrong, but now my wife and I, we have to take hours to gather stuff to say, okay, here's where you're wrong there, you're wrong there, you're wrong there, and it's just such a pain. It is such a pain. What?
That's scary.
Well, it would be scary if I didn't immediately recognize where they made the mistake. But then it's just a matter of, okay, now I have to prove that they're making a massive mistake.
Right.
And it's, we got to get rid of the IRS. I'm telling you, we should go to the fair tax, which is a national sales tax. We could also have a flat tax and get rid of almost all deductions, keep the home mortgage deduction, keep charitable donation deduction, and then give every family a $40,000 deduction. So if you make under 40 grand, you don't pay one penny in taxes. And then it's just, okay, you make 60,000, subtract the 40,000 deduction, now pay 15% of the difference, $20,000, which is 3,000 bucks. And that's it. You're done.
Wow.
Be a postcard.
You've got it all worked out.
I've got it all worked out. I could make this country so streamlined, and then they wouldn't send out these scary letters that made my heart drop when I opened it. And then I, like, okay, all right, this is absolutely wrong. But, oh, so that's what I'm doing with my extra hour today, is I'm going to battle with the IRS.
Yeah.
The IRS, which, by the way, when Barack Obama weaponized the IRS, I went and spoke in Olympia at a Tea Party event. And after that Tea Party event, the IRS came after me. And then, of course, we later learned that Barack Obama weaponized the IRS against political opponents or people that he disagreed with politically. And that was another time when they came after us for an insane amount of money, and it was like 1/20th of what they said, but they were just coming after political opponents. So we've got to get rid of the IRS. That's my bottom line with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's continue here with the Fastest 15. I saw the story of former Seattle Mariner Robinson Cano. He is not going to get to play next season. He has been suspended for all 162 games because for the second time in his career, he has tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. And if you want an example of why I used to be the biggest baseball fanatic, I knew the lineups of every team in baseball when I was a kid. I knew most of the stats. I knew all the records. I couldn't care less about baseball. And it's because of guys like Robinson Cano, who is just a cheater. He was a cheater when he was here with the Mariners. He's a cheater now with the Mets. But because of his cheating, he plays for horrible teams, the Mariners and now the Mets. He signed a 10-year, $240 million contract. So cheating does prosper. He makes $24 million a year. He's going to have to forfeit next year's salary. But, man, that was worth it. Take all those performance-enhancing drugs, get yourself all juiced up, build up huge stats, and then sign a massive contract so your great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren will never have to worry about money because of great-great-great-great-grandpa's cheating. And I couldn't care less about baseball anymore. And Robinson Cano is a classic example of why that is. And then you were making the point off the air, Nicole. So the Seahawks have a new stadium name that was just announced today. And I honestly don't remember what it is. It's not going to be CenturyLink Field anymore. Do you know what it is?
It's Lumen. Lumen?
Lumen? Okay.
Yeah.
So we got Lumen. We got a pink baseball field for T-Mobile. And then we have Climate Pledge Arena. This isn't exactly a robust set of names for our stadia.
Well, T-Mobile's fine, but we're pink. I mean, I love pink, but you know.
Yeah.
It's not the coolest.
And Climate Pledge, you know, I thought was goofy, but I adore the CEO of the Kraken, Todd Lewicki, and anything they do, I'm going to be on board with because I just think he's such a good man, and he really is sincere about wanting to bring something really exciting to Seattle. So I'm not going to criticize that either. I'm on board with that one just because of the people involved.
Right.
That's all I care about.
I've been complaining online, but I've seen a lot of people saying, well, hey, at least it's not the KFC Yum Center. Or the Smoothie King Arena.
So there are
Whataburger
brands.
Field.
Yeah. So yeah, it could be worse.
Mm-hmm.
I know. We should get back to no stadium corporate names. Just call them ball fields again.
The White Sox play in the Guaranteed Rate Field.
Yeah, it used to be the
weird.
Yeah, they were always in Comiskey Park, which was named after the early owner of the White Sox. And that's the other thing. Then the names change every few years. I know the name of every ballpark from when I was a kid. You know, whether it was Fenway or Yankee Stadium or Memorial Stadium, Fulton County Stadium, the Astrodome. I don't know the name of any stadiums anymore. Because they change every few years, too. So how can you get connected with all that stuff, for crying out loud?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got an email from a listener. And I'm going to leave the school district anonymous, but I have confirmed this. But all districts are doing it, so I don't want to single out just one district. But yet another district has set out a grade reset because so many kids with the school at home are failing. And one school district just sent out, it used to be that if you got 0 to 69%, it was an F. They've now changed it. It is now a C. If you get 0%, you will be given a C. And so not only are kids depressed, not only do they not have the sports or the extracurriculars that keep them connected, but now you can be a complete, total failure in turning in assignments because it's not that tough to get 60 or 70%. All you have to do is put forth minimal effort, unless you have a learning disability, and I appreciate and respect that. But for most kids, if you are getting 20% in a class, it's because of zero effort, and that's now going to be a C in at least a few local school districts. Bellevue's not going to report first quarter grades because those kids are doing so horrible, and it is official that at-home learning is one of the most tragic failures of how we've dealt with this health crisis. All right, and all of that is
Memphis knows me, Memphis shows
your fastest 15. I'm going to play you out with Chad Kimball, a Roosevelt High School grad. He's a Tony-nominated actor on Broadway, and now he is getting all kinds of heat because he dared say that Jay Inslee's policies are a little silly. So we'll talk with this guy, Chad Kimball, coming up right after we check the news for you. That is next. I'm looking forward to talking to him as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Jay Inslee has greatly overstepped his bounds with the no Thanksgiving, no Christmas, and some of the other mandates, including he's asked people that if they go to church to not sing. And a local guy who has made quite a name for himself on Broadway, he's Tony-nominated actor, he says that he will respectfully disobey the governor's latest restrictions. His name is Chad Kimball, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Chad, it's great to talk with you.
Great to talk with you.
Yeah. So did you grow up here in the Seattle area? Is that right?
I did. I grew up in West Seattle, went to school at Roosevelt High School.
Okay.
And, yeah, I'm a Seattle boy.
Great drama program at Roosevelt. I know that.
The best.
No, I went to Ballard, Chad. Ballard had the best drama program. Yeah.
All right. Well, we can let that live for today.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So tell me about this little dispute you've gotten into with Governor Inslee here.
Well, he hasn't called yet, so I wouldn't say it's too personal. But just as I was leaving church on Sunday, his new edict came out.
Yes.
And let me just say that, you know, we've been following the rules. We've been doing what we can to keep other people safe and wearing masks and doing all of those things. But, you know, I've been feeling lately that these edicts and mandates have just gotten stricter and more powerful and brazen and less about science, which is a troubling thing. But yeah, so on Sunday, I felt led by the spirit, if you will, to fight back a little bit in about 280 words or less, which isn't the best place to be able to take a stand. But you know what? A stand I did take, and it's gotten a little bit of heat.
Well, and what you wrote is, I understand err on the side of safety, but safety is feeling arbitrary, obtuse, and fraught with inchoate science. And you said, and this is something I've talked about so much, Chad, you said the cure is doing more harm than good, in your opinion. That is what I believe. And I've talked about it a lot with our kids. I think that it's horrible emotionally for kids to be sitting at home, not interacting with friends, not participating. Drama changed my life. Obviously, it changed yours. Sports sometimes does it. Band does it. But these kids who otherwise don't have a connection to school except for these extracurriculars, and they don't have that. They're expected to sit in front of a laptop every day. This is not healthy, and it is my belief that the cure is far worse than the disease.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and I think that it's easy for us to see on the news how many people have perished. Regretfully, obviously, we care about those people and their families. But that's the one thing that's a kind of a constant is in our life is this this on the news that we see just that part of it. And there's so many other parts of this pandemic that are equally as harmful to people. And yes, my heart really goes out to the kids because, you know, my family has been we've been touched by a couple of families near us whose children have committed suicide, who otherwise would probably be clinging on if they could be with their friends and they could be with a social circle that's outside of the social media, really. And so I think that we ought to be forgiving toward people who believe that the lockdowns are generally more hurtful than helpful. I think we ought to be able to say, okay, that's a good point of view, and that has logic and merit, as we should say to the other side and say, you know, other people who believe that it's really the best thing to follow every edict. I understand and I respect your opinion and your fear, frankly. We all have fear. But I think what I don't like is the idea that if you are in any way critical of lockdowns or any aspect of lockdowns, that you ought to be branded as a kind of an evil zealot.
Yes.
When the science is actually pretty clear that locking people down and will harm them, their lives inextricably in the long run. And I'm just worried about the kids and their futures because we have evidence that this kind of thing does not end well for them.
Without question, and I very sadly, earlier in my show today and on my show yesterday, I talked about local kids who have taken their lives, and in both cases, the people around them think that the shutdown played a significant role. Okay, but so here's your situation now, Chad. You go on Twitter, you said, respectfully, I will never allow a governor or anyone to stop me from singing or to worship my God. And I have seen some posts from fellow Broadway actors and others who call you bleeping moronic. They cite the 246,000 dead. I have to deal with this a lot because there are people who believe that they are absolutely right and anybody who disagrees is absolutely wrong. And what I'm saying is there's plenty of evidence to support what you and I have been saying about this.
Right. Yes, it's been... Well, how can I say this? The idea that you can tweet 280 words that seem logical to a lot of people, and then really be castigated. I get it. I understand people are afraid and they want to lash back at something and, they want to speak out and be heard and in the passion that they have underneath there. And a lot of us, you know, we sit in bubbles and it's hard for us to reach out and try and see an opposite or another viewpoint. And a lot of these people are very learned, you know, and so I understand their fury and I understand their rage. And we're all kind of feeling it, aren't we? But the thing that sticks with me is that, you know, a lot of people that I know are some of those people. So, again, I think we ought to be forgiving, but we ought to be able to speak what we think is the truth without being, pounded into the ground, as
sure,
it were.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's not evil to embrace a different position. And, you know, as I've talked about a lot, I don't even think our politicians believe what they're saying, because they're going out to dinners with lobbyists and friends. They're flying to Hawaii for oceanfront conferences. I don't even think they believe what they're saying. And yet we're awful, evil humans if we don't fully believe what they're saying.
Yeah, we've come to a point in our society where we kind of just take as gospel, for lack of a better word, what we hear on the news. And we want to be agreeable people. We want to think that, you know, that there is no evil or malice behind any of these dictates. But earlier Americans probably would have been a lot more skeptical than we are now. And so I would just challenge everybody to, you know, be a little forgiving to opposite points of view. And otherwise, we're going to have this, we're headed there now, but this idea that you can't even name your opinion without being called evil, or that you're responsible for killing people is such an easy thing to do. I mean, how many times on the playground did you hear that?
Yeah.
But so I think that, you know, we ought to be a little more skeptical of what we're being fed, and trying our best to be able to keep one another safe as reasonably as we can.
Amen, brother. Well, I respect you speaking out. I also respect you expressing your faith as you do. Sometimes people think that those in your industry are sometimes reluctant to share their faith, and I have great respect for that too. So I appreciate you talking with me and coming on with me today.
Yeah, one last thing. The Bible, yes. The second largest commandment in the Bible, next to loving, is to sing. And I just think that that's quite an incredible commandment from God. He's given us these voices to do something with, and if we can do that responsibly, then we should do it.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Chad, it's an honor talking with you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Honor to talk to you. All right, my friend. Take care.
Okay, he's Tony-nominated actor on Broadway, Chad Kimball, joining us, taking some heat for some of his thoughts that go against Governor Inslee's mandates. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973, and we have lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Usually our show is like a mile and a quarter, a route around two turns. Today it's more like a 6-furlong sprint, because at 2 o'clock I'm going to step aside and you'll have Seahawks football here as they have a Thursday night game against the Arizona Cardinals. I won't be part of the coverage. I don't know why that strikes me so funny. I should be upset about it, but it just, the whole thing strikes me as funny. I don't know why. It shouldn't. Come on, Monson. Get it straight. Hey, I like that Broadway actor guy that you chased down for us, Nicole. He's a good man. That Chad Kimball. Is Nicole there? Did she get bumped again?
Oh, no, I'm here. Yeah, and he's talented too, man.
You know, I'd like to talk to him again sometime, because off the air, he said that he actually, when he was a kid, and he's 43 years old, so this really makes me feel old, but he said when he was a kid, before he went back to New York City to strike it big on Broadway, he liked our radio show, which was very sweet of him to say. He said that off the air to me.
But, so how many years ago was that he was listening then?
Well, if he's 43, let's assume when he was
20. So that's like the beginning of your
college.
Career.
Yeah, right when I was starting out, probably. But I'd like to talk to him, not about politics or Jay Inslee or coronavirus, but I was thinking about this because I almost tried that. My high school drama teacher, Earl Kelly, the man who changed my life as much as any teacher or coach. I decided when I was about 17 that, because he instilled such a love of acting. And I didn't have a dad to talk to, so I just turned to Mr. Kelly, and I made an appointment. He had a studio down, or an office down at the Moore Theater, and I went and met him down there one day, and I told him, I want to be an actor. I just love what you've taught us and what you've instilled in me. And what I loved about him was, I think he knew that I wasn't, I didn't have that it factor physically that a lot of actors have. You know, I'm not, I wasn't a stunner. I know it's hard to believe, even back then. And what he said is, no, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go live your life, get life experience. And then when you're 40, 50 years old, then take a shot at it. Become a character actor. That's what, you know, saying that I didn't have that star power, which was obviously very good advice. But in radio, you don't need to have looks. Thank goodness. But that was my guy. So I love talking to people like that who just put it all on the line and roll the dice and make it happen. So I'd like to hear more of his story one of these days. Okay. I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. Tom and Curly are not coming up next. Going to have some Seahawks football coverage. And then I will see you back here tomorrow at high noon. Hello.